Blog Talk Radio.
All right. This is Watchman on the Wall, back on the air, giving honor to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So glad to be back on the air. We've been skipping a couple, been replaying a couple sessions, but I'm on the air live tonight. Let you know, amen. Let you know. If I don't let you know nothing else, the King of Glory is coming back. He's coming back to judge the world in righteousness. Time is running out. Time has run out. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we're going to rejoice in it. The sun is going down, and men are still not turning back to God. The nation, the world, the kingdom, those that's on the street are not turning to God, turning back to where we came from. We come from the Lord. Lord made us. He made us. We come from the Garden of Eden. You won't believe it. Amen. We come from Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve failed God. They turned on God and disobeyed God and caused man to fall into sin. Sin is the reason why the world is in such shape as it. Sin is the cause of death. Sin is the cause of catastrophe. Sin is the cause of war. Sin is the cause of murder and killing and raping. Sin is when men turn their back on the righteousness of the Lord God Almighty. And Jesus Christ, amen, has given, amen, the church age, 2,000 years of church history that we are running through. And we're at the last church age. The church, last church age is the church of Laodiceans, the lukewarm, humanists, back hypocrites in the church, professing that they know Jesus Christ and don't, having the form of godliness, but they ain't got no power, living the way they want to live it and call it Christian living. But let me tell you, you can't live a Christian life until you accept Jesus Christ. The only way that you can ever come to know Jesus Christ is you got to come to him. You got to go to the Calvary's cross. The cross is the only hope that the world has and the only one that was established when Christ came down here 2,000 years ago, suffered and died, paid. He paid the penalty for sin. Woo! He died. He suffered. He did everything that was necessary for man to be restored, man to be redeemed back to God. The only way we can come back to God is through the cross, because God was manifested in the flesh, seen of angels, justified by the Spirit, received up into glory, and he's been in glory for the last 2,000 years. But before he left this earth, 2,000 years ago, he said, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. And if I go away, I will absolutely, definitely come back. I'm coming back. And when I come back, I'm coming back as a thief in the night. And when he said, I'm coming back, that don't mean he's going to come back to the earth. He's going to come back in the middle of the air. And he's going to rapture the body of Christ. He's going to call all those that have redeemed by his blood. Ooh, nothing but the blood of Jesus can wash away your sin. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It won't be your works. It won't be your good looks. It won't be your money. It won't be your mama, your daddy. It won't be your pastor. It won't be nobody else but the name of Jesus Christ and his suffering and his death and his resurrection that can bring man back to God. For without the shedding of blood, there is no. Ooh, my God, let me bow my head right now. Let me bow my head. Father, we come to you right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your love and your mercy. We ask you right now, use my lips of clay that I may speak the word, realizing, oh, Heavenly Father, that you're the same God yesterday. You're the same God today. You're the same God forevermore. You are unchanging. You don't change. You're the same. You're the same. And by you being the same, ooh, man has to come on your on your ground, and he has to submit himself. He has to repent before he can ever get back to you through your son, Jesus Christ. And we ask you right now, let the word of God go out in a mighty powerful way that those that are listening may comprehend what thus says the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. The church said amen. Amen. I think I said, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Amen. No remission of sin without the death of Jesus Christ. Man cannot be saved from what? Sin. 9:26. Listen what it says. It says 9:26. I'll go back to 9:25. Let's go back to 9:25. It says, Hebrews, this is in the book of Hebrews. It says, nor yet that he should offer himself up often as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others. Sacrifice, animal sacrifice. That's what they're talking about. The 26th verse says, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, has he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Now, this is writer, Hebrews writer, some said it was Apostle Paul, some said it was Luke, but whoever it was inspired by God. I believe it sounds like a little by Apostle Paul, but he said now, back in the Old Testament, it was animals on top of animals. It was sheep, turtle doves, bullocks, goats, and heifers. Female cow was offered for blood sacrifice. The blood sacrifices of animals, listen to me now, the blood sacrifice of animals could only cover sin. It covers sin until the fullness of time came. God sent his only begotten son, only begotten son. No other son but the begotten son of God, meaning God himself. God himself became man. And by him becoming man, he was born sinless, perfect, never committed sin, never did anything wrong. Why? Because he's God. God never make a mistake. God is the same yesterday, before creation, before the heaven and earth was made. God was God all by himself. And since he made the heaven and earth, he hasn't changed one bit. But when man sinned, when man disobeyed God, he was cut off from God. And by him being cut off from God, there was no way that man could get back to God until the fullness of time came. But during that time of 4,000 years, God instituted that man would have to use animals to do a covering for their sins. No blood, there was no remission of sin. No blood, there is no eternal life. No blood, there's no redemption. No blood, man cannot be saved. S-A-V-E-D. The soul of man has to be saved. Has to be saved before it can ever enter back, because it ain't ever been there. Before man can ever go to heaven or be in the presence of God forever, he must be born again. And that new birth is a spiritual birth. A new birth is a spiritual birth. The first birth is a physical birth. And the physical birth, when the baby comes out of the mother's womb, that is a physical birth. And that baby cannot be born until a sperm fertilizes the woman's egg and be born. When that baby is born and stay in the mother's womb for 9 months, at the end of the 9 months, that baby comes out of the womb and it is called a physical birth. And if he's not born, then he can never enter the kingdom of God. Before you can be born, before you enter the kingdom of God, first you enter this world, you must have a physical birth. Otherwise, if you've never been born, you never existed, you never will see this age or this time. Because when a baby is born, it does not know where it's at. It is innocent. It is a beautiful child. Every baby that's born is a beautiful child, make no difference with discrepancy or whatever, because God designed it that way. And it takes a man to spurn a woman for that baby to be born. And when that baby is born, the spurn of a man carries, listen to what I'm saying, carries the sin trait. In other words, no natural man born to the human race can give a woman a baby that's born sinners. Can't do it. Can't do it. Can't do it. Never have been done. Never will be done. And there is no attempts that it can be done, because man is born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Didn't my mother conceive me? So it's the fall of Adam and Eve that caused the sin trait to go through Adam, because he was the head of creation. And when Adam disobeyed God and ate the fruit of knowledge of good and evil, sin came into the world. And when it came in through Adam's disobedience. So when a baby is born, it's born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And there is no man on this planet or on any other planet can give a woman a baby that's born sinless. You hear what I said? Sinless, perfect, holy, can't do it. Cannot do it. Impossible. Impossible. God cannot create a man and make him out of the dust of the ground and give him a sinless trait where he have never sinned to give a woman pregnant so the baby could be born sinless. Can't do it. Impossible. So man is totally depraved. Man is totally born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And there's no way that any man can be birth a baby to a woman that can be born sinless. It takes God Almighty. God Almighty, the only God in the heavens. His glory fills the heaven. He is God all by himself. And the only way God could redeem man, good God Almighty, listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what the scripture says. Let's get back to the scripture here, because I want to feel in on this. It says, then must, 26th verse, then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, has he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. At the end of the world, 4,000 years they went past before Christ came. And when Christ came, he came around about 4 BC. He was born of a Virgin Mary, wrapped in swaddling clothes. Mary was overshadowed by the Holy Ghost, and when she was overshadowed by the Holy Ghost, God impregnated himself. You hear what I said? God impregnated himself by the Holy Ghost to overshadow Mary, and she conceived the seed of God. The Holy Ghost impregnated Mary's womb, and God himself became what? Inside of Mary's womb and stayed there. Listen to what I'm saying now. He stayed there for 9 months. God Almighty in the flesh, born of a Virgin Mary. And when Jesus Christ was born, he was born sinless. He was born God in the flesh. Oh, wait a minute. Let's see what Isaiah said. Ooh, let's see what Isaiah said. Let me get this real quick. Amen. Real quick for you, because I want to put this down, because church going ain't going to do it. Your good looks ain't going to do it. You got to be what? Uh-oh. Let's see what you have to do. Isaiah 9:6. 9:6 says, this is what God did. This is what God done. 9:6 says, for into us a child is born, comma. Into us a son is given, semicolon. For unto us a child is born, a baby is born. Into us a son is given, God the Son, in the child. The child is the Son of God. The child is God Almighty in the flesh. Listen, word. Listen. For unto us a child is born. God wasn't born. God never was born. God existed before anything was knew what it would mean to be born. But what God did, God became flesh and stayed in Mary's womb for 9 months and came out, and they laid him in the manger. That was God. That was the Son of God. That was God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. The Godhead. Listen to what I'm saying. The Godhead inside of Mary's womb brought forth a child. Now listen. Listen what Isaiah breaks it down. He said, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. In other words, this child is king. This child is the creator. This child is the maker of all mankind. This child is building a government. God is building a government right now. How is he building? He's building it through Israel. He's building it through the church. He's building it through the tribulation saints. He's building it through the millennium saints. He's building it through the Old Testament saints. God is building him a government. All the governments of the world today is corrupt because it's not built on God. It's built on idolatry. It's built on satanic wickedness. It's built upon what Lucifer, listen to what I'm saying, Lucifer has built over seven world governments. Lucifer have built under idolatry, under dictatorship, under killing and murdering and raping. He has built seven governments, and there's one coming that will fulfill the whole complete plan that God has to end of the world, to end the world, not the global world, but to end man's government. All right, here are the governments that's under the influence of Satan. The Egyptian idolatry. The Assyrian Empire, idolatry. The Babylonian Empire, idolatry. The Median Persian Empire, idolatry. The Grecian Empire, idolatry. The Roman Empire, idolatry. All seven kingdoms is built up on idolatry and depravity and sin and degradation. And Satan has been trying to build a kingdom that will last forever, which is impossible because Satan is not God. Satan is a fallen cherubim that was thrown out of heaven during the creation time. He was thrown out of heaven, and he became the prince power of the air when he came down here and was thrown out of heaven. After God in Genesis 1:1 created the heaven and earth, they tell me in the second verse, the earth was without form and void, and darkness fell upon the deep. What happened between 1 and 2? Satan fell. He fell, and this brought the world in chaos. And God had to recreate what Lucifer destroyed. because Lucifer was the highest angel of all time. No angel was above him, and he was an anointed cherubim. And when he came down here, he destroyed and brought the world in chaos and brought one-third of the angelic angels that followed him and brought him down to earth. And he has been down here on this earth for what? 6,000 years. 6,000 years. What have he done? Nothing. Destroy, kill, rob, rape. He has tried to damn the whole human race, but he'll never do it. He'll never do it. Only those that's wise enough to understand the only ones that are going to heaven is the only ones that acknowledge the government of God and acknowledge what Christ done on Calvary's cross to build his government. And guess what? Jesus Christ said, up on this rock, I'm going to build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And the devil and hell and all his angels have been trying to rebel against the church of the living God that Jesus Christ purchased with his own blood. And he did it, power of God, because there is no other man on the planet or on the other side of eon and ion. There's nobody that could do what Jesus Christ did, because he was God Almighty. And when he was born, Mary brought forth this child. This child was sinless. This child was perfect. This child was the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I'm getting ahead of myself. Listen to what it says. I'm going to go back a little bit. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name. Now, anybody can outdo his name. Listen at his name. His name shall be called Wonderful. Wonderful. Who is wonderful? Anybody on this planet is wonderful? Is the government wonderful? Is the preachers and the deacons wonderful? No. They're not wonderful. Nobody can eat the word wonderful but God Almighty. He's wonderful. Not only is he wonderful, but he's a counselor. The best counselor that I know is Jesus Christ. The best counselor I know is the Son of God. The best counselor I know is the Rose of Sharon. He's a counselor. And what? The mighty God, the God of gods, the Lord of lords, the King of Kings, self-existence. And guess what? Woo, this is what gets me. It turned me on. God is love. God is nothing but pure love, divine love. John 3:16 put it on the rock bottom. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not what? Perish. You don't have to go to hell for nobody. You don't have to be lost. You don't have to burn forever. You don't have to suffer for your own sins forever. Jesus Christ paid the price for your sins. He gave his life for your sins, because it's through the blood that he offers his blood as a sacrifice, because in the blood there is life. And this life that was in Christ Jesus was God himself, and his life is eternal. And if you come to believe on his name and accept his name and repent of your sins and your backwardness and your lying and your cheating and your cussing and your gambling and your whorish, backbiting, if you repent of your sins and fall down on your knees at the foot of the cross and let that blood flow through your veins by the Holy Spirit, guess what? The Bible says, thou shalt be saved. S-A-V-E-D, brother. And I'm talking about saved to the uttermost. The uttermost. The uttermost means forever. Saved throughout eternity. Saved through the ions and the eons. Saved beyond that your mind can even comprehend, because those that go to heaven, those that give up sin, and those that be turned against wickedness and turn to the living God and accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, there's a place that we're going to go. It's called heaven. And this heaven is there where we're going to live and live and live and live in righteousness. We're going to live in love. We're going to live in joy. We're going to live in peace. We're going to live out through eternity. And they tell me, when will the end come through eternity? Well, there's no end. There's no end. And there's no beginning to eternity. And God is the beginning and he's the end. And if you accept him as your Lord and Savior, if you come to him in repentance and humble yourself and tell the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sorry that I'm a sinner. I'm sorry I don't believe in you. I'm sorry that I've done things against you. I'm sorry that I even thought things against you. I want to repent of my sins and turn from my wicked ways and believe upon your only son, because he only got one. He only got one son. There ain't no more sons that God can offer. That one son is named Jesus. Oh, he's got over 365 names that you can give Jesus Christ. But the most commonly named known is Jesus Christ. Jesus means Savior, and Christ means anointed. And that's the one, that's the only one that can anoint is Jesus Christ. God Almighty is the only anointer. And by him being anointer, he can anoint you, and you become the anointee. And when he anoints you, guess what? Something happens in your life. Something happens deep down in your soul. There's a change coming up out of your soul, and that soul is changed by the blood of Christ. It's not the Baptist. It's not the Presbyterian. It's not the Catholic. It's not the Seventh-day Adventist. It's not the Mormonism. It's not all these religions that's going all across the planet. It's not nothing that can't save you. None of those names can save you, but only the name of Jesus Christ, because Apostle Peter said in the fourth chapter of Acts, he said, there is no other name given under heaven whereby men can be saved than the name of Jesus Christ. And so what Christ is doing now, what God has been doing for the last 6,000 years, he's been building his kingdom. Oh, my God, and he's building it. And guess what? If you've been born again, you'll never be lost again. Woo, yes, indeed. There ain't no such thing as in and out salvation. Either you accept him or either you reject him. And if you accept him, there's a change in your life. And the Bible says, you know, you pass from death to life because you love the brother. And then he says, if a man say he loved God and hate his brother, he's a liar and the truth is not in him. And I'm not talking about just your own color. I'm talking about all nationalities. I'm talking about all those that live in wicked. I don't love the wickedness that man is doing, but I love the man. I love the women. I love the children. Amen. You may be wicked, but that's not what I hate you. I don't hate you for that. I detest you for that. I want to let you know you don't have to live in a wicked area. You don't have to live in a wicked life, because Jesus is the only one that can take that wickedness out of you. And he loved you so much that he's willing enough to do it. He was willing enough to die for your sins. And then it says here, that sin sacrifice, 2,000 years since the day of Pentecost, the last generation that we're living in is now. This is the last generation. You will no longer see another generation after this, because this generation closes in 2029. 2029 is the last year of this generation. And this generation is one of the most wickedest generation that's ever been upon the planet. And Jesus Christ quoted that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man come. And when the Son of Man come, it will be just like Noah's day. And now the day is just like Noah's day, and Noah's day was like this day. And they tell me God got so tired of seeing only evil continually day after day, month after month, and year after year, and tell me until he said, Noah! Noah, Noah, hear me. Build an ark, for all flesh have come corrupt before me. I'm going to destroy the world by water. I'm going to wipe out every human being on the face of the planet that rejects me. I'm going to wipe out those that refute me, those that deny me, those that say that I don't exist. I'm going to wipe them off the face of the earth. But God seen Noah and found grace in the eyesight of Noah and said, Noah, call your family together. Call Ham together, Shem, Japheth together. Get your daughter-in-laws, get your wife, and tell them I'm going to cause a flood to come upon the whole world. And by the way, the whole world was flooded. Whole world was flooded. And there were people up on the earth. And by them being on the earth, they became so wicked that God couldn't take no more. And one reason they became so wicked, because the fallen angels came down and cohabitated with the human race and infiltrate the human race and the world race. The whole human race almost, good God Almighty, almost had to destroy every individual on the planet. But God found 8 people, only 8 people out of millions of people. I don't know how many people was on the earth at that time, but I mean, it was a whole lot. There was maybe 3 billion. Because right now it's 7.1 billion. And there was billions of people in that day because it was so wicked that God said, I can't take no more. I'm sick of this. And I'm going to call Noah out and talk to him and tell him to build an ark. And at the same time, I want you to preach that the world is going to be destroyed by water. I want you to preach it 24/7. I want you to preach it every day. I want you to continue to build an ark. I want you to woo the people in. Come on in. Come on in, because it's going to rain. I'm going to rain. And let me tell you, and Noah did exactly what God told him to do. 120 years, he laid it down. And I'm just saying this. I'm just saying, I've been preaching this gospel for 57 years, and I've been telling the world, anybody I can get to talk to on radio, on TV, I've been telling the world, telling the preachers, telling the deacons, it's going to rain fire this time. I've been telling them that Jesus Christ is coming back for 57 years, and a lot of people say, I ain't paying no attention to that. It's true. Oh, they've been talking about that for 2,000 years. Yes, that's true. But make no difference. Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth because man cannot go on like this. And God be pleased with it. It's not going to happen. And my time is running out. We're living in the last days. We're living in the last generation. We're living in a generation where Israel is back in the land. And Ezekiel tells me that when those dry bones get together and they get back up on their feet and they unite together and muscle come up on them and skin come up on them, that is referring to the restoration of Israel. And Israel is back in the land. They've been in the land since 1948. And they're still in the land. They've been in that land for 75 years. And God said, before I come back, Christ said, before I come back, I'm going to bring my people back in the land, and they're going to restore the land, and they're going to get ready for the final showdown. And it's going to be more dynamic than the showdown at OK Corral. It's going to be a showdown between the Antichrist and Jesus Christ. The Antichrist is here on the planet now, 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 not tomorrow, now, full grown. And the Jews are talking about him. The Jews are looking for this man to come because they believe that it's the true Christ, and it's not going to be the true Christ. It's going to be the Antichrist. It's going to be a specimen that the devil has mustered up, and it's going to be a natural born man, and he's going to come on the scene. And when he come on the scene, the world is going to receive him because the last 240-some years, America has been America, but America is looking for somebody to lead them. The nations of the world are looking for somebody to lead them. They don't try to every man that you can think of. They don't try to Adolf Hitler. They don't try Mussolini. They don't try Napoleon. They don't try Alexander the Great. They don't try the Babylonian Empire. They don't try to every empire on the face of the planet to try to straighten out mankind. And it hasn't done it because man cannot straighten out this planet. No philosopher, theologian, or scientist can straighten out the sin problem. The only, yes, Lord have mercy, the only one that can straighten out the sin problem is what Jesus done on Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago. God Almighty became man, seen of angels, justified by the Spirit, received up in the glory, and he suffered. Oh, yes, he did. He suffered beyond recognition. He suffered until the world said, I don't understand it. Why is he doing this? But he did it for your sins. He paid the penalty for your sins. Don't you understand that? He paid the penalty for your sins. In other words, he took your place when you should have been on the cross. But you couldn't get on the cross. You couldn't take the cross. You couldn't even take the Garden of Gethsemane. You couldn't even take it to harassment before he even got to the cross. We done blew off our lid. We done cuss folks out. We done tell them to take a flying leap. But Jesus took it all. Took all that whoremongering and all that adultery and all that homosexuality and all that lesbianism and all that non-belief and took it and nailed it to a piece of timber, and he took the sin and laid it up. He took our sin and laid it up on his body, and his body took a beating. He took a beating so bad that no man could recognize him on the cross. If anybody would have seen Jesus Christ hang on the cross today, if the whole world could have seen him right now, they would pull their hair out of their head. They would pull their hair. They'll run into mountains. They'll run into walls and see how they beat him. Beat him to a piece of raw hamburger. Blood streaming down. Muscles ripped out of his back. Muscles, face all disfigured. Blood streaming down. Swollen eye. Crown of thorns stuck on his head that went between his skull and his flesh. Cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God turned his back on his own self. Oh, yes, he did. And he felt the whole pain of death, hell, and the grave. And when he went down into hell, he told Satan, I'm down here and I'm going to do something. I'm going to take the keys of death, hell in the grave, and buckle it on my side and go back on top side. And when I get on top side, I'm going to have all power in heaven and earth in my hand. And the devil, I say the devil, knees knocked together. He became an invalid. He became a retard. And now he's trying to prevail against the church, but he can't do it. He's losing every day. And look like sin is winning. Sin is losing. You're losing. The Bible says, what profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? And if you die without Christ in your life, if you die without Christ in your life, when you hit the graveyard, you're going to bust hell wide open. I don't care who you are. I don't care how much education you have. I don't care what the color of your skin. I'm not looking at the skin. I'm looking at your soul. You got a soul. You got a soul. You got a soul that's going to live forever somewhere. Where do you want to live? You want to live in hell? That's the only way you can get there is to reject Christ. You want to live and go to heaven? You've got to accept Jesus Christ. Listen to what 27 says. This is what 27 verse says in Hebrews, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Every man has an appointment. Every man has an appointment with death. And if the rapture don't occur, amen. If the rapture don't occur, then everybody's going to have to die gradually out. But I know one thing about it. The rapture is getting ready to happen right now. And everybody ain't going to die. Everybody ain't going to see death. Because the Bible says in the moment of a twinkling of an eye, the dead, the ones that's already dead in Christ, shall hear the trumps of God, and we that remain alive automatically, uniquely be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And this old frail body of mine, this old body that's got aches and pains, this old body that's wearing down, this old body that's been through thunders and lightnings and floods of life, this body that's been worn down, I'm going to be changed in a moment of a twinkling eye. And Brother Paul said, listen here, after this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, I have another building not made with hands, and the eternal glory is for me. You see what I'm talking about? You're going to have to die one day, but if you don't die, if you want to go to heaven, if you want to go calling the rapture, you're going to have to come to Jesus Christ. You hear what I said? Amen. Postman, mailman, football player, movie stars, postman, ecologists, pornography, all these whorish people and people who don't believe in Jesus Christ and refuting Jesus Christ and telling Jesus Christ to take the cross and just blood sacrifice and shove it. That's what the world is selling God Almighty. I don't need no sacrifice. I don't need nobody to die for me. I can go to heaven just like I am, but that's a lie, and the devil can't tell the truth. The devil cannot tell the truth. He knows that a person does not be born again, he got him. If you have not been saved, Satan got you lock, stock, barrel, and all. He got you until you think you can sneak in, you can crawl in, you can roll in. You can go around Robin Hood's born to get there. No, you got to come through Jesus Christ. Listen, 28th verse. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Christ is coming this time not to die for nobody. He's already died. And he's going to appear in the cloud. And he's going to rapture the church. In a moment of a twinkling of an eye, he's going to call out the church. Not the white church, not the black church, not the Jewish church, not the Puerto Rican church, not the Mexican church, not the Russian church. That church that consists of all nationality, race, creed, color, and ethnic background. Woo! It ain't going to be no color about it. It's going to be soul-saving time. It's going to be blood-washed saints. This is going to be caught up into the clouds and meet the Lord in the air forever. I'm leaving here. And I love to serve the Lord. I love to preach this word. I love to tell people about how good God has been to me, not only to me, but to everybody, to the sinner, to the lost, to the ugly, to the pretty, to the white, to the meek. He's been good to everybody. He's been merciful to everybody. And men today are trampling over his mercy. And one day they tell me they're going to have to be judged. And when they are judged without Christ, they're going to the pit. They're going to the lake of fire where there will be gnashing and gashing of teeth. And the only way you can go to hell, the only way you can go to hell is you can leave this planet without Jesus Christ and the redemptive plan of his blood. When you leave it without being born again by the Spirit of God, you're going to hit hell like an arrow. Because God said, I cannot let you in my kingdom because your soul is stained with sin. Your soul is stained. Oh, you may have a good a good, what you call good moral life. You can live, you don't smoke, you don't drink, you don't lie, you do it, you don't lie. You, because the Bible says, let God be true and all men be a liar. So we all done lied. Ooh, yes, we have. And who is a liar? A liar is one that denies that Jesus Christ is God Almighty in the flesh. They are antichrist. And the world is filled with antichrists. The only true way to salvation is through Jesus Christ. Listen to what the word says. It says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto him, them that look for him. Who's looking for him? The church. The church of the living God. I'm looking for him. And there's a lot of people on this planet that's looking for the second coming of Jesus Christ and his return. Why? Because the world is out of control. The world lies in wickedness. The Bible says evil men shall wax and worse in the last days, and men are getting evil and evil and evil every day. Every day, folks are dying and shooting and killing and murdering and raping, and men and families are being broken up, and men are using little girls for pornography. Dying in 10, 11, 12-year-old girls, and they're prostituting these girls until their life is ruined. They're ruined. And they tell me alcohol is up, drugs is up, all kinds of sex orgies are going around the world. Diseases are spreading from syphilis to gonorrhea, from gonorrhea to HIV, HIV. This stuff is messed up. Church folks getting involved with worldly pleasure. And let me tell you, you can't serve two masters. Either you hate one and love the other, or you love one and hate the other. There ain't no two ways you can go to hell. There's only one way. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can get to the Father but by me, by Jesus Christ. Christ said, broad is the way. There's a broad way to hell. There's a broad way to hell. People going to hell the broad way. Straight is the way. Straight is the way. Narrow is the gate that leads to life. And very few will find it. Very few people will find Christ. Because broad is the way that leads to destruction. And the world is sold under sin. The world is filled with sin. The world is filled with depravity and hatred and all kinds of demonic demons are working on souls today. And they're working to souls today, and they want to do one thing. They want to keep you away from the cross. That's why you see there's a great falling away. The Bible said there shall be a falling away first, and the sin of man shall be revealed. And the church is falling away from what? They're falling away from the Christian faith. There's only one faith. Uh-oh, wait a minute. I want to give you some information. I'm going to give you some information on how many faiths do we have in the world today. I'm going to give you what the Bible says, not what I say, not what the world encyclopedia say. I'm going to give you what the Bible says right here in Ephesians. If you get your Bibles out and look in the book of Ephesians, the fourth chapter. In the fourth chapter, it says, therefore, the prisoners of the Lord beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as ye are called, in one hope of your calling. There is one Lord, one faith. There it is. There it is. There it is. Y'all see that? One baptism. The Holy Ghost, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us It is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Jesus Christ. So there ain't no such thing as two faiths. There's one faith. And I'm going to show you in the book of Hebrews who is the author and finisher of my faith. I'm going to show you. Amen, amen, amen. Let's get this going on. Let's get it going on. In the fourth chapter, let's see what it says. In the fourth chapter, it says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest. Any of you should seem to be come short of it. It says, for unto us was the gospel preached as well unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard them. Now, I want you to read Hebrews. In the book of Hebrews, we find these words. We ought to have given more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we shall let them slip. For if it has been the word spoken by the angels, a steadfast every transgression and disobedience receive a just recompense. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord, was confirmed unto us by them that heard them? How shall we escape? Where is our faith lies? Our faith lies in Jesus Christ. There is no way that any man can delete Jesus Christ and not believe on his name, not believe on his burial, death, and resurrection, not come to him and repent of their sin, enter into the kingdom of God. For you must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder for those that diligently seek him. And I'm telling you that this author and finisher of my faith is no other but Jesus Christ. For he is the author and finisher of my faith. I trust in him. I rely on him. I depend upon him. I hope in him. But living in the last days, we're living in a day now where people don't believe in God. They don't believe in God. They don't believe there's a heaven or hell. They only believe what they want to believe, and they figure, if I believe this, I can escape what the real truth is about. The real truth is about salvation in Jesus Christ and him only, because Satan knows more than any saint on this planet. He knows the only way that a man can enter the kingdom of God, he knows if he accepts Jesus Christ, he done lost that soul. And he don't want nobody to call on the name of Jesus. He don't want nobody to go to the cross. And this day and time we're living in, people are totally rebelling against God Almighty. And the only way that a man can ever get to the point where he can live for God, worship God, honor God, respect God, fear God, and live a sanctified life set apart from sin, the only thing that can set you apart from sin is the blood of Jesus Christ. For it is the blood that makes an atonement for your sin. The blood of Jesus Christ does not cover your sin. The blood of Jesus Christ destroys sins in your soul. It destroys every bit of it. It makes your spirit and soul spotless. When God looks at you, if you're a child of God, he looks at your soul. He don't see nothing but his Son. And the Holy Spirit is in your soul and spirit. And it takes the sin out and it stays there. the Holy Ghost stayed there. He will never leave you, neither will he forsake you. Lo, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. This is what the blood of Jesus Christ will do for the believer that accepts Christ as their Savior forever. Now, how do I know that we're living in the last days? How do I know? How do I know that the rapture is soon to come? What signs in this age that tells me through the word of God that the rapture is getting ready to happen? What signs that I see, the signs of the times? I've went over this before, the signs of the time. One of the greatest signs of the times of all time was the restoration of Israel in 1948. Israel had been dispersed for 2,600 years. 2,600 years the Jews were scattered all over the face of the earth. And Ezekiel gives us a picture of how this scattering and this year's deportation of Jews all over the planet. The 37th chapter of Ezekiel gives us a picture of dry bones. Dry bones. These bones does not represent the church. These dry bones is not the church. These dry bones is Israel scattered all over the world amongst the Gentiles. And the Gentiles had them in the grave. The Gentiles was killing them and murdering them and would give them their rights. They lost, they almost lost their identity with the true living God. And God told Ezekiel to go down in the valley of the dry bones and caught Ezekiel by the locks of the hair. This is a great prophecy here. This is one of the great prophecies of all times. Because from 606 BC, Israel lost her identity as a nation. She was a nation scattered all over the place. She had lost the Hebrew language. She had lost her homeland. She didn't have nowhere to wander. She had nowhere to go. In any country or in amongst the Gentile nations, their lives was in danger. They killing them, boiling them in oil. They stripped the skin, such as Adolf Hitler and all the dictators of the world persecuted the Jews so much they were dry and they were scattered and they were brittle and God asked Ezekiel, can these bones live? Talking to the nation of Israel, can these bones live? And Ezekiel said, Lord, thou know it. You know about it. Ezekiel said, I don't know nothing about this. I know my people are scattered and I'm concerned, but I don't know if they can live or not. And Ezekiel said, thou knowest, Lord. Yahweh, you know. And Ezekiel said, this Ezekiel said, Lord, you know. The Lord said, Ezekiel, prophesy. Preach the word of the living God. Preach. In season and out of season, preach to these dry bones and tell me, oh, ye dry bones, hear ye the word of the Lord. And when Ezekiel started preaching the dry bones, he said, I seen a shaking in the land. I see them rumbling in the land. I seen the bones start moving, and they was moving around from the east, from the north, from the south, and from the west. And they began to join together. They began to unite together as a nation. And they worked on up from 606 B.C. until 1945. Adolf Hitler had wiped out 6 million Jews. He burned them. He boiled them in oil. He stripped the skin. He took the gold out of their mouth. He buried them alive. He almost tried to eliminate Israel, but they tell me after World War II in 1948, Theodore Herzl said, now it's time for the Jews to come back to their land. Good God Almighty, from 1948, President Harry S. Truman a great man to me, because President Harry S. Truman had to sign a declaration. Woo! He signed a declaration telling the American people, telling all the nations of the world, I'm going to sign this declaration, because let me tell you something. There's something special about these people that God has put in my heart to sign a declaration that Israel will become a nation for the first time. First time. Because the dry bones was joining back together. That's what the dry bones represent. It's not the church. The church wasn't even in existence at that time. But in 1948, the church came in existence about 35 A.D. But after the church came in existence, Israel was in scattered. They were scattered all over. But 1948 came, the fig tree stopped budding. When the fig tree stopped budding, they tell me Israel was back on the feet. They stood up. They became a nation. And one day, a nation was born. And from 1948 until 2022, 75 years, Israel is back in the land. Listen to what I'm saying. Listen, listen, listen. They're back in the land. And Jesus, the prophet says, the Christ cannot come back until the Jews are back in the land. Restoration. And they're back in the land, and they're still coming back in the land, because that's where the true Messiah is going to meet the Jewish nation, on the top of the Mount of Olives. The top of Mount of Olives, they're going to meet the real Savior, the unique Savior. But before Jesus Christ comes back to this earth, I would like to inform you, there's a false Christ coming before Christ comes back to the earth. There's a false Christ coming. We don't have, I don't know how many, we don't have all kinds of dictators and false Christs and false prophets claiming the deity of God Almighty, and all of them was phony. All of them was devil sent. All of them was diabolical. All of them was devil's plan, amen, to try to damn the whole world. That's what his plan is, because he can't do nothing. He can't build nothing, right? Amen. He can build beautiful cities and streetways and gateways and have a whole lot of houses of prostitution and beer joints and have a whole lot of games and stuff for people to entertain themselves, but he cannot build a kingdom of righteousness. He can't do it. It's impossible. So now we're living in the last days, just before Christ comes. And just before Christ comes, the Jews got to be in the land. Number one, fulfilled, and yet more to be fulfilled. Number two, the Antichrist has to be alive today. The Antichrist has to be alive today. He must be a full-grown man now. And he is here. I'm telling you right now, he is here. He is waiting. He is waiting. He is waiting for an event to happen so that he can come on the scene. He cannot come on the scene worldwide until an event happens, which is about to happen, woo, real close, because number one, this man is full grown. The Jews are looking towards the West for him to come from. They already initiated his father, his Antichrist father, which was Juan Carlos. Juan Carlos was initiated in 1975 by the Jewish cassette. They notified Juan Carlos and said, you are going to be initiated as to be the king, listen, the king of Jerusalem. Juan Carlos. I follow that. I was on that in 1975. When Juan Carlos came, I said, uh-oh, if the Jews initiate and certify him as to be the king of Jerusalem, then out of Juan Carlos would come the Antichrist. How's that going to happen? Well, Juan Carlos was married, and he had two daughters and a son. And his son is named King Felipe. He was trained by his father. And Juan Carlos was trained by Generalissimo Franco. And that a Spaniard that trained Juan Carlos, and Juan Carlos trained King Felipe. King Felipe was born in 1968. By him being born in 1968, that gives him the age of 53 or 54 years old now, and he is the king of Spain. By him being the king of Spain, the Jews have a close relationship with Spaniards. And the reason why is because Esau and Jacob were brothers. Esau, you got the Spaniards. Jacob, you got Israel. It was Jacob that caught the heel of Esau when he was coming out of Rebekah's womb, and there has been a confrontation ever since Jacob stole Esau's birthright and stole his inheritance. And the Spaniards and the Jews intermingled and married, and some of those Spaniards consist of them of coming from the royal line of Judah. They come from the royal line of the throne of David. So what you got? You got a connection between Spain and the Jews. And you remember the Inquisition in 1492 when the Spanish turned on the Jewish people because they wouldn't turn to Catholicism, and they begin to kill them and put them in iron maids until Christopher Columbus asked Ferdinand, King Ferdinand and King Isabel to give him three ships so he can, make an exit, because they was killing them, drowning them, and everything. Until this day, there's a confrontation between the Spanish and the Jews. And now, the Jews are looking towards Spain to bring in the Antichrist. Woo! That's heavy. That's deep reading. That's studying God's word, rightly dividing the word of truth, that I don't have to be ashamed. Because now, this man is full grown. And I got information on him. My next session, I'm going to tell you exactly what he believed in and what exactly he's holding up. Because now the Jews are planning to build a temple. A temple. Y'all, please listen to me. A temple is in preparation now by the Jewish nation. They got to have a temple. They got to have a temple, because that temple was instituted in the book of Exodus. When the Jews came up out of the land of Egypt, God had fixed a way that he could come down out of heaven and be with the children of Israel and to offer sacrifices and offerings in the desert. In the desert. And when they left the desert and got in the land of Cana, the first temple was built by Solomon. And that temple was for sacrifices and offerings, sacrifices and offerings. And they had to have it in order to make an atonement for their sin all through human history until Israel rebelled against God. And then they were without a temple for many years until Herod built another temple. He reestablished the temple, and that's the temple that Jesus Christ mentioned when he was here on earth. He mentioned that there won't be one stone left upon another that will not come down, and that was destroyed in 70 A.D. In 70 A.D. until 2022, the Jews have no temple. And since they don't have no temple, they got to have a temple in order to bring, try to bring back Judaism, and they can't do it. But the Antichrist is going to come and give them the okay and make a seven-year covenant with the Jewish people. A seven-year covenant with the Jewish people that he will protect them and give them a peace contract, that he will protect them for 7 years. That's the seven-year tribulation. And the Jews will accept him as being the Messiah, because when he comes back, he's going to say, okay, build your temple and offer up your sacrifice so that we're locked in to give the Jewish people and the Antichrist to sign a seven-year pact. And guess what? The Jews are in the making of re-establishing and building a brand new temple. And this temple will be identified with the other two temples that were built. The Jews are looking for the Ark of the Covenant, which they say some people believe and know, they know where it's at. The high priests are putting on their gowns. The menorah has been reestablished. Everything that the people had in Egypt, in the book of Exodus, they are going to reestablish that same sacrifices and offerings of animals, which will not work because Christ has already died 2,000 years ago, and the Jews won't receive him. Jesus Christ told the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Sanhedrin court, he said, I come in my Father's name. My Father's name is Jesus Christ. And y'all won't receive me. Y'all won't believe in me. Y'all won't accept me. But if another man come and come in his own name, y'all are going to receive him. And this is a man coming on the scene in his own name. His name is King Felipe, the son of Juan Carlos, the king of Spain from 1975 until 2014. He gave the king throne to his son. And the reason why, because there was some discrepancy in his kingship, and that his age was far beyond that he could rule Spain anymore. So he gave the throne to his son. His son is 6'6", got six letters in his name. He knows 10 languages. He's a five-star general. He's a prince. He's a king. He's a son of perdition. He's the wicked one. He is the one that's going to do what? Set in the temple. He is the one that's going to set in the temple that the Jews are preparing to build within the next what? In the next year and a half. They're looking and they're prospecting and they're searching for two red heifers to sanctify the temple and sanctify the people to prepare to offer up the old sacrificial offerings, which will never work. Till Christ come, good God Almighty, listen to what I'm trying to tell you. He cannot come until an event happens on this planet. What is the event? Brother Bazaar said, I don't know, but I tell you one thing, the word of God tells me. And that's where I'm going. The only time that this Antichrist can come, an event has to happen within the next year, maybe before this year is closed out. What got to happen? Not only that, I forgot about this. I got to go to the 38th and 39th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, World War III. World War III is getting ready to come up. Russia is getting ready to prepare. They got Ukraine. Ukraine can't do nothing. Ukraine don't belong to Ukraine no more. Russia got Ukraine. They done bummed it to, it's unfit to live in. So that land going to go back into Russia's hands. Putin is planning to do what? Putin is planning to conquer the Middle East. Y'all listen to what I'm saying. 38 and 39th chapter of Ezekiel gives you a plain identity of what's getting ready to happen on this planet. Five nations going to link up with Russia. Five nations. I mean, nations that hate the Jews. And right now, every nation on the planet, every nation, except I hope America can escape this, every nation on the world today hates the Jewish people. And the reason why is because the devil knows that the Jews is God's chosen people and that the Jews are the ones that brought the word of God through the inspiration of God to write the Bible. The Jews are Bible writers. They were anointed men filled with the Holy Ghost, every prophet, all four major prophets, and all 12 minor prophets, spirit-filled man that wrote the Bible through the Jewish people to give what? To the Gentile world of heathenism. Heathenism was consisted of Gentiles because they did not know God. They had no relationship with God until the New Testament came. Oh, yes, God brought some in the Old Testament. But they didn't come in until what? Until the Jews rejected Christ and God said, I'm going to cut y'all off and I'm going to join the Gentile, both Jew and Gentile, what bond or free. We're going to unite now. The fullness of the Gentiles is almost over. They're getting ready to do something on the Temple Mount. They're getting ready to get these heifers together and they're going to burn them and take the ashes and oil and anoint the holy place and anoint the people and sanctify the people like they did in the Old Testament, but it's no longer in use. They're using it because Satan's going to set them up to make them believe that he is really Jesus Christ. Now, this Russia war that's coming on, World War III, this war cannot come to the full head. Listen to what I'm saying, man. Listen to what I'm saying. This war cannot come to a full head. Russia cannot attack Israel until what happened? Cannot attack Israel, neither can the Antichrist come on the scene until. Good God Almighty, I know you're waiting for me to tell you. Until the body of Christ, the rapture, occur. The rapture got to occur in order for the Antichrist to come and for the Russian war come. And it's going to be such a large army that the United States will not be able to do one dime. They ain't going to do nothing. They can't do nothing. No nation will be able to defend Israel. Hear what I'm saying now? No nation will be able to defend Israel. And five nations will come down from the northern parts of Russia, Moscow. The five nations are, let me get it for you. I'm going to read in the book of Ezekiel, 38th chapter, 4th verse, 6th verse, 4th verse, 5, verse 6. Listen to what it says. This is Ezekiel getting the message from God Almighty, the creator and maker of all mankind. He says, fourth verse, and I will turn thee back. I'll back up a little bit. No, I'm going to go back to the first verse. That ain't use of me going in the middle. It says here, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, that's Ezekiel saying, word of the Lord came to me, son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him. So God is against Gog, Magog, Meshech, and Tubal because they're atheistic countries. They don't believe that there's an eternal God that rules the world and everything therein. They don't believe in the burial, death, and the resurrection of the great God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that came back from the grave. And they said, and the word of God said, and say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I'm against thee, O God, chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. I will turn thee back and put hooks in thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with buckler and shield, all of them handling swords. The countries are Persia, Iran, Ethiopia, North Africa, Libya, North Africa. So you got Persia, Ethiopia, Libya, them and all of them with shield and helmet. Gomer, which is Germany, all of his bands, and the house of Togarmah, which is Turkey, and of the northern quarters, and all his bands, and many people with thee. Be thou prepared and prepare for thyself, thou and all thy company that are assembly unto thee, and be thy a guard unto them. After many days, thou shalt be visited. In the latter years, Ezekiel was at 606 B.C. He said, in latter days, I'm going to come at the end. And the latter days is 2022. This is the latter days. This is the end time. This is the close of the end of time. Time will go on after Christ comes, but we'll go into eternity. So Russia, within the next 6-7 months, there's going to be a shaking going on. When Russia makes up their mind, after the rapture of the church, after the body of Christ, after every born-again believer blood washed one from around the world, 7.1 billion people on the planet, I don't know how many billions going to leave. I don't know if it's going to be 3 billion leave or 4 billion leave, but I'll tell you one thing. The Bible says few going to get in. But in the moment of a twinkling of an eye, when the church is raptured up, it's going to be such a dynamic shock to the nerve cords of the epitome of every man's soul and heart. Because many people will be missing in many areas all over the world, and the world will say, what happened? It'll take about 2 weeks, 14 days, for them to really get in order and let the people know what's going on. And the Antichrist will be such a marvelous, great orator. He will be able to speak to make people believe that he is actually Jesus Christ. Later on in his reign, he will make fire come down of heaven. He will make great prophecies. He will explain how these people are missing. He will use UFOs and all these fallen angels that are in UFOs. They're flying, darting in the water, coming up out of the water. Demons will be working around the clock 24/7. Men will be in a horrific, terrifying time. It will be something like a fright night. And he will come and sign a 7-year pact with Israel. And at the same time, Russia will get so bold that they will find out that there's many people missing from the planet. And that will give them the opportunity now to make the attack. The nations and the five nations that will join, what? They will join in with Russia, will actually go from modern artillery to ancient artillery. They will use horses. They will use spears. They use arrows. They're going to use all kinds of non-battle war artillery. And these are going to be such a phenomenon. They are going to use weaponry that will burn after they are used? How can you burn metal and steel and iron and brass? You can't burn it. But the Russians have a new weaponry strategy. They can take special pressed wood and press it at 3,000 degrees pressure under high pressure steam. And when they get through pressing that wood together, it will come out hard as steel. And yet and still, you can put a match and burn. It'll burn. It's in the book of Ezekiel. If you read that 38th, 39th chapter of Ezekiel, you will read exactly what Russia is planning. And when Russia brings all those men on horses and they'll have some probably artillery and tanks and planes, but since the oil is bad and the gas is high, they won't have enough to muster up enough gas to run all their high-class machinery. So they're going to horses. And when they get ready for this army to come, which will come up on the mountain like a cloud. It's in the book 38-39. It'll come up on the mountain like a cloud. And when they get ready to come down from the mountain and come on the mountain of Israel, and they get close to Tel Aviv, they get close to Jordan, they get close to Syria, and as they get ready to make an attack upon Israel, God, eternal God, is going to stomp, I don't know, both of his feet. He's going to stomp, I'll say both of his feet. He's going to stomp both of his feet up on the holy mount of Israel. And from that point of epic center, he's going to shake. Listen to what I'm saying. He's going to shake the whole world. That every fish, every animal, every human being, every army, everybody on the planet is going to feel a great earthquake. So great. And God is going to cause a disturbance in the midst of the armies that they will be so afraid that the men are going to kill each other. Read 38-39. It's going to be an earthquake so gigantic they ain't going to have to take it off the Richter scale. It ain't going to even register. Why? Why is God going to shake the world? He's going to shake the world because, number one, the armies of the world is messing with his people. The nations of the world has always messed with the Jewish people. They have denied them of what God has given them, and the Jews have denied what God has given them by unbelief. But yet and still, God says they are still my people. And I'm going to defend them in such a way that the world is going to recognize who I am. But you know something? The Antichrist is going to take the credit that he is the one that caused them to shake the earth. The Antichrist is going to take the credit. The devil wants to take the credit from God. And guess what? Israel going to believe that they're going to have peace and safety. And it's not going to happen. Jesus Christ will be here. I believe before this year is out. I don't know what day. I don't know what hour. I'm not guessing. I'm not saying nothing. But I believe the way that Russia is pointing, the way that the temple is getting ready to be built, the way that they're getting the Ark of the Covenant, the way that they want the two red heifers, the way that they're getting the temple measured out, Jesus Christ will rapture the church before 2022 is out. Now, you can laugh at me. You can joke with me. You can say, ha, 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 ba, 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 you lie, you all messed up, preacher bizarre. Jesus Christ can't come now. I got things to do. No. Whatever you got to do, whether you get it done or not, Christ is coming. Because 2029 is the last year, the last generation. And the church is going to be raptured up, I believe, 2022. Because if you add seven home to 2022, you got 7 years of tribulation, ends up at 2029. That is when Christ comes back to the earth. Can you get that now? That is when Christ comes back to the earth. Because during the tribulation period, you're going to be able to count the days down to the T when Jesus Christ is due. He can't come in the middle of the tribulation. He cannot come back to earth at the beginning of the tribulation. He got to come at the end of the tribulation. And the Bible said, if you account the days that the book of Revelation gives revealed, when the two witnesses come in the middle of the tribulation. Now listen, when the two witnesses come back in the middle of the tribulation, which will be Moses and Elijah, you can start counting the days. From the first day, you would have to count 1,260 days, or you have to count 3.5 years, or you would have to count times, dividing times, time and times and dividing time. You will come up with 1,260 days, which ends the 7 year tribulation. And once those men preach for 3.5 years, they're going to preach consistently for 3.5 years. And at the end of the 3.5 years, they are going to be killed in Jerusalem. Every TV, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, every unique state-of-the-art communication will evangelize this worldwide. People will be so angry at these two men because they will be telling them to repent and turn from your wicked ways. For the Lord God is coming back. They are going to tell me, I wish they would shut up. I wish they would shut up. I'm tired of this so-called gospel. And this would be the gospel, honey. There's going to be no motivation speeches. There ain't going to be nobody going around talking about, look what I got, and I need a $65 million jet plane, and I'm going around the world, and I'm spreading the gospel, and look at what I got, and all. There ain't going to be none of that. It's going to be judgment time. These men will be preaching 3.5 years, and the last day they preach, they're going to be killed. And they're going to lay in the middle of the streets of Jerusalem for 3.5 days, and it will be televised. It will be televised. Y'all hear me? This will be in 2029. After the 3.5 days, the body will probably have swollen up. The breath of life, the breath of God's life will re-enter into these two men, Moses and Elijah. Moses and Elijah. Moses did not finish his ministry, and neither did Elijah. Elijah got tied up with Jezebel, and he got frustrated, and he told the Lord, I'm the only prophet left. And God said, you're wrong. I got 7,000. I haven't even bowed down to Baal. What are you talking about, man? And he got so disgusted, he said, oh, I want to die. I want to leave the planet. I'm tired of this. Jezebel time. And the Lord said, all right, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to catch you up in the fiery chariot. And I'm going to take you to heaven just like you are. Moses, I done buried him. And nobody knows where his grave at, but I'm going to resurrect him and you because y'all didn't finish your ministry. And so you have to finish it the last 3.5 years. Y'all going to have to preach. Y'all going to have to tear up some. Y'all going to have to put the hammer down. Y'all ain't going to have no time for no collection, no time for no appreciation, no time for no banquet. Y'all going to have to preach the world wide. Because 144,000, they go the first 3.5 years. And they tear up some stuff. They tear up some stuff so bad until John, after they got through preaching, they say, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. He said, I see a number, and I want to know where did they come from and who are they. And one of the elders said, Mom, don't you know who they are? He said, no, I don't know who they are. He said, well, whoever they are, would you explain it to me? He said, these are the tribulation saints. These are the ones that heard the gospel of the kingdom from the Jewish nation for the first time ever known to human history. 144,000, 12,000 from each tribe. 12,000 from each tribe times 12 equals 144,000. They're going to preach day and night, 24/7. Woo, woo. You talking about the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of grace is done. The gospel of grace was carried on with the church. But now, it's the gospel of the kingdom because the Jews are going to preach Jesus Christ died and rose again, and he's coming back. He's coming back. He's coming back to set up the millennial kingdom on earth in Jerusalem. 1,000 years. We will rule and reign with Jesus Christ because the church went up. At the rapture, they was in heaven during the 7-year tribulation. Now they're getting ready to come back to the earth. When they come back to the earth, they're coming back riding white horses. Jesus Christ will be the lead man. He will be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he will meet the armies of the world. Every nation will meet the Lord God Almighty and his Son, Jesus Christ, at the battle of Armageddon, where the nations and the armies of the world trying to stop Christ from coming back to rule Jerusalem because that's where the devil want to be, and the devil ain't got nothing to do with it. He's just a Mickey Mouse. He's a Donald Duck, and he's a quack, and he lost all the way around. If you want information on what chapter in the Bible where it says that Jesus Christ is going to split the sky from the east to the west and the moon will turn red with high blood pressure and the sun will get embarrassed and go out. And then after that happens, the heavens going to roll back like a scroll. And John said, I'm going to read that to you. Let you know there's hope for tomorrow. Hope for tomorrow for the church of the living God. In the 19th chapter, 11th verse. And John the Revelator getting ready to introduce the unrevealing Christ. He came down 42 generations, stayed on the earth for 33.5 years, suffered, died, and went down in the grave, came back on the third day morning. When he came back, he stayed on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights and to convince the world that he had risen. He told the disciples, I'm going back, and when I go back, I'm going to send you the power from on high. I want you to be a witness for me from the uttermost parts of the earth. And Jesus went back to heaven, and 10 days later, there was a freight train coming in. They tell me, I heard a mighty rushing wind fill the whole house where they were sitting, and they all were filled with the Holy Ghost. They began to speak in other tongues that the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. And since then, the church has been rolling and rolling and rolling. It rolled. Yes, it did. It rolled from 35 A.D. until 1000 A.D. Keep on rolling. It rolled from 1500s until the 1800s. It rolled until the 20th, the 21st century, and it's still rolling. But one day, they're catching away of God's people. And then the seven-year tribulation. And at the end of the tribulation, this is what's going to happen at the end of the tribulation period. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. He that sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteous he doth judge and make war. Oh, the battle-fighting God. Going to fight against his enemies. The nations of the world, God's enemy. God don't want to have enemies, but you don't make God, try to make God out of a lie. But he said, I'm going to show you that you're the liars. He doth judge and make war. And his eyes were flame of fire. And on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vessel dipped in blood. And his name called the Word of God, good God Almighty from Zion. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses and clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goes a sharp two-edged sword. And that with it he shall smite the nation, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress in the fierce of the wrath of the Almighty. And he hath on his vestures and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is the return of Christ coming back with the church. And a lot of people say, well, I don't see the name of my church on there. I don't see the Baptist, no. I don't see the Presbyterian, no. Where's the church? Well, let's see where we can find the church at in here. There it is. 14th verse. And the armies. Where did God get this army? What is an army? An army fights. I'm in the army. I was in the army, but now I'm in another army. I'm in a divine army. I'm in a righteous army. I'm in the army that's for righteous. I'm in an army that God is building. It said, and the armies, a lot of armies, which were in heaven, followed him up on white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. That's the church. So your name of your church has nothing to do with this church. If you've been born again, you have been enlisted by the blood of Jesus Christ to be in a divine army of God Almighty. You're in the army of the Lord. They got a song they used to sing, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Now, being on the battlefield, you can't be no pancake pusher. You can't be no patty cake. Being in the army, you got to be tough. You got to know how to fight. And if you don't know how to fight this Christian battle, you ain't going to make it. If you don't have nothing to fight with, you got to armor yourself. First thing, you got to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Then when you're washed in the blood of the Lamb, you got to put your armor on. Good God Almighty. Let me see what this armor. Woo! Talking about an army. Let's see what the army you're talking about. I'm going to show you the army I'm talking about. I'm going to go to Ephesians. I'm going to go to Ephesians 6th chapter right quick. Here it is, right here. Army. Army in Revelation. This army I'm talking about. 6:12, it says, listen what he said, Apostle Paul. Powerful. Apostle Paul said, finally, my brothers, Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on, what he said, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness and high place. Wherefore unto you the whole arm of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod in the preparation of a gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always in all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, and watching thereinto the perseverance of supplication for all the saints. Good God Almighty. That's an army right there. There's your army. You should have your armor on now, because we're fighting. And after we get our rewards in heaven, we're going to come back and fight. And who's going to lead us? Fight. Good God Almighty, Jesus Christ, God's Son, going to fight for us. Don't you want to go? Get ready, saints. Send a man. If you're out there, you like a gathering around, you partying, and you doing everything you want to do, you going to church, and you doing, and you ain't putting your arm on. Guess what? If you ain't saved, especially, you gonna miss it. But if you're saved, when you get to the kingdom, when you get to the Jesus Bema seat of Bema seat, and you're going to be judged according to how you fought. You're going to be judged according to your works. And your works is wood, hay, and stubble. You're going to suffer loss. But if it's gold, silver, and brass, you will get a crown. And you're going to be judged everything, whether you be good or whether it be evil. But since you're a child of God, salvation has already been taken care of, because he died and he rose again. And you made your choice, I'm going to choose Jesus. And since you chose him, Paul said, endure hardness as a good soldier. All right, there it is. You're in the army. You're in a divine army. Christ is coming. He's soon to be here. Don't let nobody fool you. The Jews are getting ready for it. They're getting ready for the Antichrist. And they think it's Jesus Christ. And the church ain't getting ready for Jesus Christ. If the church is getting ready, shoot, people be on fire. People be telling everybody, Jesus is coming, man. What you, can't you see it? Can't you feel it? And the only way you can escape this what's coming is Christ is the answer. Drugs is not the answer. Sex is not the answer. Money is not the answer. Good looks is not the answer. Prestige is not the answer. No, Jesus is the answer. If you want to be caught up, you got to be born again. Not again and again and again, but again. Saved and, I'll say this, set apart from sin, sanctified. Your soul been sanctified by what? The blood. If you want to be saved tonight, you can be. It's as simple as ABC. Jesus Christ is the Savior, not the Pope, not the Bishop. Jesus Christ is the Savior. And the only thing you got to do is repent. Turn about face 180 degrees and rebuke sin, hate sin, hate wrongdoing, hate wrong things, attitudes, hate that, and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he will come into your life and save you by his shed blood through the Spirit of the living God. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. In order to get saved, you got to be forgiven. And when you're forgiven, then God will come in. But you got to turn from sin. What is sin? All unrighteousness is sin. Transgression of the law is sin. If you know to do good and doth it not, you sin. You need him tonight. Don't die without Jesus Christ. You can die without money. You can die without a car. You can die with all that. But don't die without Jesus Christ. For he made a way, the only way. All the celebrities, all the big shots say there's many ways to heaven. That's a lie. Ain't never one way. Oprah Winfrey and Joel Osteen, T.D. Jakes, all these so-called men of God telling folks a bunch of lies. You're a liar and the truth is not in you. Jesus Christ is the only way. And if you have not been changed, you're going to hell. You're going to hell. And God can't do nothing about it until you come to him. Otherwise, if you die without him, God says, he got to shake his head because he has no pleasure in death. He's not jumping up and shouting when somebody dies without him. Don't die without him. Don't die without Jesus. Let him come into your life. Apostle Paul said, if you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that God, Jesus Christ from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Come to him now. Christ is coming back. He's coming back with wrath. He's coming back with anger. Not for the church. He loves the church. He's not angry at the church. He's angry at the wicked. His best gift that he ever could give is his only son. And he's upset because you won't accept him. So you have to pay for your own sins. You have to be separated from God forever in a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. No mercy. No coffee break. No music. No love. No mercy. Just anguish and gnashing and gashing and gnashing and gashing of teeth. And Jesus Christ loved you so much. He gave his very best, himself, through his son, Jesus Christ. You can come to him now. Don't wait till tomorrow. It's not guaranteed that you'll wake up in the morning. There's no guarantee you wake up in the morning. God might call you, whether you save or not, so he might call you on in. Don't be called and don't know it. Don't be called and don't know it. Because once you're dead, you still live after you die. You will know where you're at when you die. And when you die without him, you are going to be so miserable forever. You will never have any peace the rest of eternity. He was scorned. He was whipped. He was mutilated. He was chilled up my spine. Ooh, Don't go. Don't go. Come to Christ. For he loves you so much. And I appreciate you listening. Tell somebody else. This is real. This is real. Church will never come back to where it used to be. It will never. Church is on its way out of here.
Amen.
Church is, oh, thank you, brother. It's good to hear your voice. The church is on its way out. Brother, you came in. Bless your heart, brother.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. God is good.
Out of here. And I'm going to give you, I don't know how many minutes I got. How long you been there, brother?
Amen. I've been listening to you the whole show, but, you know, I got family business to take care of. And, you know how it is, brother, being, getting off of work and all. Pretty tired, so, but I've been listening to you the whole time, amen. So, I finally got finished. So,
hearing your voice, you get me a spruce of, I'm gonna finish this, God, tonight.
Amen.
Don't die tonight. Hope and pray. If you're not saved, hope and pray the Lord will save you tonight. So if you do die, you'll go right on to glory.
Amen.
So well, if you die without being baptized, you still go to glory? Yes, you will go to glory because it's not by works, it's by faith.
Come on, doctor.
The people on the cross didn't get no water. He had faith in the man that was said, remember me. And Jesus said, from this day, you be with me, man, in paradise. And that man was the smartest man, thief. He was the smartest liar because he said, I need Jesus. And
that's right.
Those are listening out there, you need Jesus. I'm saved, but I feel I need more of Jesus.
Amen.
I need more of it. I know I'm saved and
that's
sanctified.
Right.
My salvation is sealed. No devil in hell can unsave me. I can't unsave myself. I can't tell the Holy Ghost to walk out of me because it ain't going nowhere. Jesus said, I know I'll be with you always. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I thank God for that. Why? Because, man,
Amen.
Well, I'll never die. I'm still happy. And those that listen to me, please, whatever you do, make sure you save tonight. Confess with your mouth. Believe with your heart that
Amen.
God did. And he paid the price for your sins. Your low down, dirty, rotten, stinking stuff that you done done. And he can wipe it out by Christ. Ain't nobody
going
around. I've seen some people think they think they're all self-holiness. You ain't holy. You ain't holy till Jesus Christ comes into your life. You got to make you holy. And then you live. As you live, you'll get stronger and stronger and stronger. So some of the more bad habits you got, they'll drop off like apples dropping from a tree. Why? Because Christ will what? Let you know. Lay aside every weight, every sin that so easily beset us. Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finish of our faith. Come on and go to heaven with me. Come on tonight. And just bow down on your knees right now. Don't be ashamed to commit your soul to Jesus Christ. There's nothing like it. I wouldn't trade nothing for this. I don't give you a gun to my head. I'll shoot you if you don't stop talking about Jesus. Shoot me in it.